We continue our show now, celebrating the people and places that make Chicago proud. Now let's talk about Chicago history. Historians will point to bars and clubs in River North or along Halsted as the ultimate gathering spots for the LGBTQ community. But if you go to Belmont Harbor and travel just south, past the Yacht Club, you'll stand at a spot known simply as the Belmont Rocks. The Rocks became known as a safe space for the gay community to hang out during the 60s and 70s and 80s. Sure, you could go into a club or a bar, but many of those clubs and bars were in the shadows, like Marge told us, speakeasies with doors on the sides, or bars with windows covered so nobody could see in or be seen. That is why the Belmont Rocks were so special. It was a place for the community to come out and picnic and swim or just hang out in plain sight. The Rocks aren't there anymore, bulldozed in the early 2000s. Plans for an AIDS garden walk are in the works to commemorate the site. But for historian Owen Keenan, he wants the Rocks to live on. He's working on a new book called A Place for Us, LGBTQ Life at the Belmont Rocks. Pete and I met up with Owen, where the Rocks once were, to talk about the history and significance of this north side lakefront spot. As we look out here at the Belmont Rocks, you got Lake Michigan, Lakeshore Drive. What comes to mind for you?
When I sit here, it's really hard for me not to think back on what it was like 35 years ago. And truthfully, it feels like I feel ghosts almost. Like I can feel what this place was like and how much life was here. And now it looks pretty lifeless. Yeah.
So tell us about the Belmont Rocks. This is, you go to the, take goodness. Us back to the late 70s and what was happening and what this meant to the gay community at that time.
The Belmont Rocks were really important. They started, I have photos going back to the 60s at the Belmont Rocks. They became a place that was really closely aligned with our liberation. They were a place where we could just be ourselves, we could be out, we could build community, we could be in the sunlight, and this was all happening at a time when our bars still had blackened windows.
Right, right.
But this is right in the middle of the city.
There's something really great about that contrast, that a gay community was behind blackened out windows and doing everything, if you will, in the shadows. But to be right here in the lake in one of the most public places in Chicago, there's a great contrast to the gay community and to the Rocks and to what we know of the bars and nightlife.
Oh yeah, it was a wonderful place to meet people. I mean, every time I came here, it was fun. You know, you never knew what might happen, but during the weekends, they were packed, and this includes the green area behind us, east of the bike path. But during the week, things were much slower, and you might come here and, see people sort of in romantic situations or hooking up or having a picnic or getting high or just hanging out with their friends, and it was really an important place to build community that wasn't necessarily in a bar. And it was sort of the creation of this LGBTQ space at a time when spaces could still just happen, when they weren't sort of commercial ventures.
Right, or choreographed.
Or choreographed, yeah.
And you put a page up, a Facebook page, trying to get submissions for people to memories, but also photographs. Well, one thing I noticed, a lot of stories being told about the Belmont Rocks of people not sure where their community was. And when they found out about the Belmont Rocks, it was almost they were home. There's this idea there was so much going on here.
Yeah, the first time I happened upon the Belmont Rocks, it was the early 80s, and I was just walking towards the lake, and I came beneath that underpass at Diversey and started walking up the path and saw people by the lake and sort of started moving to the lake. And as soon as I came over this ridge, you felt the energy of the place. I mean, it was one of those times where you're just like, like you've discovered Disneyland or something like that. It was fantastic. And the fact that that many LGBT people were out in the daylight and just having fun and hanging out and doing whatever, just you couldn't help but get swept up in that feeling of liberation, and it was really empowering.
There's something to be said about that, too, because this is being a very public space. The lakefront is a very public space. At that time, bigotry and discrimination was at its height when you think about when you think up on the rocks in the late 70s, early 80s. Was there a lot of that kind of discrimination towards the gay community at the rocks? And beyond just, you know, bigots, did you also have police that wanted to get into the and make sure that you weren't doing things that were criminal?
Yes, the police did want to know. But this was almost a safe space. And the thing that was really beautiful is the rocks were layered and they were these irregular, huge limestone blocks that didn't create a clear sight line. And there was a top row that we're sitting on now of the Belmont Rocks. And on this top row, there would be people sitting. And police would come usually off the bike path that's behind us. And they'd be on these little scooters
for the most part. Yeah, you could see
them
coming.
And as soon as they were spotted, someone would get up and give out a signal to, you know, put your clothes on, stop what you're doing, flick your joint away, right. Do whatever you needed to do to not get busted. And that was another empowering part of community, is that you did feel some harassment, but a lot of it didn't really happen. Like, I don't remember any harassment from just people.
Right.
The thing with the police, I only saw that a couple times when I was here.
This is an extension, of course, of Boys Town and the gay community that is just to the west of us.
Yes.
Is it an extension of Halsted Street? I mean, is the Belmont Rocks considered an extension? Is this categorized in your mind as part of the
I think it's categorized as Lakeview. I don't consider this really... This is very, very different now. I don't really consider the rocks to be the same thing, you know, but hopefully in the future, I think it's going to be a very important extension of the history of Lakeview.
And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the garden that's coming in here. But before we do that, and this was also, this is told a lot in your work, is about the time of the AIDS crisis in the 80s and how a lot of what you would consider to be joy in the community turned to misery. And this idea that the rocks almost are emblematic of that, where this was a place where the community came together and everybody was joyous.
Sure.
But when this came about in the early 80s, people started disappearing, people started dying. This became almost a marker or a place of remembrance for that.
Oh, there were plenty of memorial services at the lakefront. A lot of these large limestone blocks we're sitting on had remembrances of people who had passed. There were all sorts of things that would have people's, you know, their name and their birth and death date and maybe a little piece of artwork and something that might be as simple as saying, "You will be missed." But it became such an emblematic spot of what our community went through. Not only the liberation, but also the threats from the horrible epidemic. You know, and it just, rather than it being like an one or the other, it just sort of naturally kind of transitioned into a different space. It was still, all the other stuff was still going on, mm-hmm. but it could also incorporate things like couples having unions, different gay organizations and groups meeting down here.
It almost, in a way, became a place, almost a safe space again, to come in and share in what was a horrific experience.
In a lot of ways, it was sort of an unclassified community center, an open-air community center. Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of talk about the Belmont Rocks, but it's not the rocks anymore. The Army Corps of Engineers came in the early 2000s.
2003, yes.
They blamed erosion for these are such iconic rocks, and they were,
oh, they're beautiful.
If you grew up in Chicago, you know it all on the north side of Chicago, but it's not the case anymore. Now it's a little bit more sterile, it's a little bit more museum-like.
And with that, the population disappeared. I mean, it's much safer. It's like a landing strip now, but they aren't really utilized at all.
Yeah, it's empty.
Yeah, it's empty.
But, you know, I will say, I'll give the alderman credit, Tom Tunney, here.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you look at the top of this, and as we sit along the lake at Belmont, there's almost like stadium-like seating that they did to the water.
Yes.
But right where we're sitting right now, we are actually sitting on the limestone rocks that were saved.
Yes.
There's just a quick little stretch right along between Belmont and Diversey of some of the limestones. And when you look at it, you see the artwork. You see that was fading away, obviously, because it's limestone. But you see artwork. You see there are remembrances on these rocks of a time that is gone.
Sure.
And that's, yes, I cannot credit Tom Tunney, the alderman, enough for what he did to sort of to save a bit of what the rocks were. It was the decision of the Army Corps of Engineers, and I mean, there's no rebuffing that. Yeah, there's nowhere you can fight it. So he, and I know local activist Charlotte Neufeld was also involved in picking out some of the stones that had important artwork and trying to preserve those. And there's different conversation areas here now, too, little groupings of rocks that try to give somewhat of a, like a memorial feel to it, is what it feels like to me.
Right. It does. It feels very memorial. It feels like you can, you're looking at something from the past, especially with all the artwork and the markings that are kind of fading away on these limestones. But the alderman also got through what's going to turn into, at some point in the near future, an AIDS garden memorial. That's something that he's been pushing for a long time, but it really truly is to commemorate the AIDS epidemic, but also the Belmont Rocks.
Sure. It's AIDS Garden Chicago. It's to commemorate a lot of those lost in the epidemic, but it's not called a memorial so much as because it's talking about how we as a community got through the epidemic. Those people that volunteered and those people who continue to volunteer, continue to live with HIV and with AIDS, and also to educate people in the future about the epidemic and about the disease. I mean, the disease isn't over. It's still going on, but it's going to be an important place for people to reflect and to learn and to celebrate a lot of times.
How important is it to have the garden here?
Truthfully, I was working to do a historical recollection about the Belmont Rocks, and that had been going on a little bit when all of a sudden I found out about AIDS Garden Chicago. So for me, it was just one of those coincidences that was incredible. I'm thrilled that it's going to be here. I know that a lot of it is just placement and stuff, but and maybe it's personally me, but I have memories that are tied here. So having it here is going to be really significant, because so many people I hung out with at the Rocks are gone. And it was a lot of times the crowd that hung out at the Belmont Rocks was a pretty wild crowd. And, you know, the sad thing was, is AIDS was a disease that did not wear well in a bathing suit. I can't think of any other way to describe it, but a lot of the people who suffered from the disease would come here, but a lot of times it just was nothing that people really wanted to wear a bathing suit and suffer from, you know?
There was a memory that was part of your collection of putting that you're putting together.
Uh-huh.
Just about the idea that you may see somebody 1 week and then they'd be gone and you never see them again. And this concept that, you know, that had a lot to do with obviously the deterioration of what the disease does.
Oh, sure.
But also a little bit of the fact that, like you said, it doesn't wear well with a bathing suit. And this was a wild area, and there was a little bit of shame in the idea they want to be here.
Well, and at the time, Kaposi's was one of the things that would show up first of all, which were very visual. And a lot of times people would cover up more. So I think the Rocks kind of lost a bit of that. And then I think for a lot of people, maybe even as the epidemic wore on, the Rocks became kind of sad because they could remember what it was and people they'd lost. And it didn't become so much as a carefree place in the summer as more a reflective place.
Oh, and as we wrap up here and you are working, I want to get more information on what you're doing, because the Facebook page and the submissions, people are flooding you with pictures from like you said, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, of their recollections and their memories of the Belmont Rocks.
Sure.
How did they get involved in the project of trying to keep this place alive?
Well, the Facebook page and the project is called A Place for Us, LGBTQ Life at the Belmont Rocks. And if they have memories or photos, or I've gotten a lot of sketches, anything that captures sort of what the Belmont Rocks were and how important they were in the history of this community, they can email me at owenkeenan@yahoo.com. And hopefully what I want to do is create this big, beautiful scrapbook that sort of captures the importance of what this place was. Because here it was bulldozed in 2003, so there's like a whole generation who, this is just really fragile history, who don't remember this place at all. It's not really newsworthy, so to speak, but it was how people led their day-to-day lives. And that's the history I think that's important, is how people, especially in the LGBTQ community, how they live their lives day to day. That speaks to more people a lot of times, I think, than the huge events. Huge events are great, but I don't think they're how you teach younger people about their elders. I think younger people learn more about their elders when they hear about things that they understand themselves, like partying or having sex or, you know, anything else, or hanging out with their friends. And that's what's the importance of the Belmont Rocks. I mean, our community wouldn't be the community it is today if we would not have claimed this space when we did.